Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Krupp.
All right, everybody. Great to have you with us today as we begin another day of talking about the political issues, well, that really are going to impact you. That's what we do on Political Coffee, and we always try to do it with an eye towards helping you change your world by giving you ideas, thoughts, and phrases in the conversations that we have that help you persuade a persuadable person. That's what Political Coffee is all about. And it's why we talk about the things that we talk about. There's a great piece in The American Thinker today. And I didn't find it until actually late in my show prep. It makes a profound point. We on the right, we that are the patriotic conservatives, the defenders of the Constitution, the defenders of the Constitution as the founders wrote it and intended it to be, as they made very clear in the writings of the Federalist Papers. We need to do something different if the Republic is to survive. We need to build a parallel economy. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, I'm going to get into that because I think it is a critical piece of the future. I've sort of been talking about this, but Andrew Torba, who's the founder of Gab, wrote a piece about building a parallel economy on his platform. And I couldn't agree more. And one of the people that is going to be central in that is Donald Trump. Trump is going to Sunday give his speech at CPAC, where, by the way, Stacey Ann is going to be broadcasting starting tomorrow. She's literally flying there today. In fact, she's on her way there right now. I had a conversation with her yesterday afternoon. Thursday and Friday, she'll be broadcasting from CPAC in Orlando, Florida. Donald Trump is going to be the keynote speaker there on Sunday. Now, as a quick programming note, if Stacey Ann has the ability to interview certain people during the time that this show is on the air, primarily in the 7 o'clock hour, then we're going to co-broadcast with her in that hour, and you will hear more interviews over a longer period of time than you normally would just on her show from CPAC, since she's there. And she has the opportunity, rather, to talk to people. We want to maximize that opportunity as much as possible. So I suggested to her that I make that hour, the 7 o'clock hour, also available to her if she can snag somebody walking by. You know, years ago, by the way, I broadcasted at CPAC, and it was one of those things. That was when I had a weekend show. It went from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. West Coast time. So that meant, and back then it was in D.C. So it meant that from 9 a.m. on a Saturday and a Sunday morning till noon, I was on the air on my show. And, Saturday and Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock, there wasn't a lot of people that you could interview. But as the morning went on both of those days, as speakers are going on and they're holding speeches and so forth, people became available. And the staff at CPAC was very good with me in terms of you know, finding an outlet to somebody that they had invited that was speaking, giving them additional platforms to talk on Radio Row, as we call it back then. And that's where Stacey Ann will be, and hopefully she's going to have the opportunity to do that, because that's how it works there. So Donald Trump is key to all of this, is key to the future of our country. So also is what he's going to be doing shortly. And that is, this week, he's going to be meeting with so-called advisors and really plotting out a path forward for how he can impact the country going forward. All right. And that relates to everything. It relates to the candidates that are challenging. There's a story about that today in OPB about two candidates, looks like actually three candidates, but two very high-quality candidates that are running against Jamie Herrera Butler. She's the congresswoman, Republican, from across the river in Portland, who voted for Trump's impeachment. She's got a 40-year-old and a 35-year-old, both men and former government employees, one of them being a former special operator, and he was a Green Beret and a CIA employee, which means he probably was a contractor. His wife died in 2019. His name is Joe Kent. He just went ahead and filed, and so also did a 35-year-old former staffer of the U.S. Selective Service who had had a long association with Senator Don Benton of Washington State, who's a great, is described in this OPB article as a Republican firebrand. And I know Don, and he is. If you've heard him over the years on Lars's show, he went to work for the Trump administration in the Selective Service. And this guy, in his name is Wadi Yakur, 35-year-old former staffer of the U.S. Selective Service. He also has filed to run. So they're going to have a competitive primary, right? I'm sure that both of them will be knocking on Donald Trump's door because they want his support, as they should try to get it. Because Trump already has a $70 million fund already raised, sitting there, money for this purpose. It's there for the taking. Now, I want to go back to this piece about patriots building a parallel economy. Why would we need to do that? Well, because it's how we're going to survive the coming couple of years in the face of what is clearly to be a fascist Democrat takeover of our constitutional rights. It's really the only way to describe it. And as part of that, we need to fight back and push back against the false narratives of the left. There's a piece by David Horowitz in Front Page Mag, and it points this out, as did the testimony yesterday of the ex-Capitol police chief about the riot and fake insurrection. David Horowitz's piece today is "The Fascist Democrats and the Fake Insurrection." The subheadline is "Why Americans Should Be Afraid, Very Afraid." And it's about Merrick Garland, who apparently said, as you remember in his testimony in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee, that terrorist acts can, and he said this under oath, right, can only be committed in the daytime, because Antifa, and he's specifically referring to the Portland courthouse attacks night after night by Antifa. That was okay, because it was during the time that federal employees weren't there. It wasn't the daytime. People really weren't in danger. really. There are guards there. There are federal employees in that building at night. There are janitors. There are prisoners in that building being held. Their lives were in danger. This is why you should be very afraid. But it's the idea that there was an armed insurrection by only people on the right. The No Q report has a great tweet in it about the testimony of the resigned chief of police, Stephen Sund, yesterday. This piece by the No Q report starts off saying, mainstream media and Democratic politicians have a narrative to maintain. They do not want you to know that Antifa was present at the Capitol riots and were involved in sparking the storming of the Capitol building. And yesterday, Stephen Sund, the ex-Capitol police chief, admitted that to be true. And then immediately mainstream media and the Democrats say, no, that's a debunked fake news story. Really? Jack Pobisic of OAN tweeted. He said, are we just not going to talk about the fact that Capitol Police Chief Sund said he had intel that Antifa was part of the January 6th attack? There's more on this, but I want to relate this back to Trump and to Oregon. Because yesterday, I got a phone call from a high-profile Republican, whose name you would know, who wanted to know where the Republican Party was headed with its new leadership. And I'm going to address that when we come back from the break here. In just a little bit, because this is profoundly important. Because a piece of that puzzle was what the Republican Party had said in their news release that was widely derided. When they came out, the Republican Party of Oregon, the Oregon Republican Party, and said that the January 6th insurrection was a false flag operation. I want to address that because that then leads to Trump. It leads to pushing back against the false narrative that it was Trump supporters doing this. And it makes it easier for another story, like Lindsey Burschauer, whom I helped get elected as a Yamhill County Commissioner, who's pushing Yamhill County as being a sanctuary county. For Second Amendment. All of this matters to your liberty, to the future, everything you care about. I'm going to address it when we come back from home at 6:20.
No, that's not poverty. Hating believers and light on their faces.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp. Stop the car.
22 minutes past 6 o'clock. Yes, that is the Power Buick GMC talk line. 503-589-1220. Or you can shoot me an email to jeff at 1220.am or jeff at kslm.news, like Jimmy did. He writes an email that says, hypocrisy now and forever. I apologize if I'm 180 degrees off topic, but I'm overwhelmed by the amount of hypocrisy we are confronted with daily. It's just another way of lying to us, and frankly, they don't even care if we know they are lying to us. It's everyone on the left. Politicians, media, and the everyday leftist. When confronted, they storm off calling us Nazis or racists. Facts and logic are hate speech. This is all very frustrating, but I know we gotta keep fighting the good fight. Yes, you're right. We do. We have to keep fighting the good fight. Now, the way around the lie, the blatant lying, the unconstitutional actions, the way around all of that is communicating, changing your world, persuading the persuadables. To do that, we need a new parallel economy. And Donald Trump's the key. The parallel economy allows us to get the word out and become educated to the truth of issues, like exactly what happened on January 6th in the U.S. Capitol. Now, this relates to Oregon, and here's how. Because this conversation that I had yesterday, this high-profile Republican asked me, is the change in ORP leadership was the final straw that made that happen? Was it because the ORP put out this press release about the January 6th false flag operation? And my opinion is no, that was not. Now, while that may have contributed a little bit to it, because they could have said the same thing but differently, I think it was far more. It was a lot of other things. Internally, really communication issues, the leadership not communicating apparently, from everything that I've been able to gather with the county parties very well, and plus the two failed recall efforts of Kate Brown that have not yielded Republican wins. Now, okay, fine. But I don't think the false flag narrative was the final straw. But yet, now the Oregon Republican Party, because of the national narrative that only you and I are going to be able to push back on, because the mainstream media has completely bought the line and is hiding the truth of what ex-Capitol Chief of Police Sund said yesterday in his sworn testimony in front of Congress. Antifa, along with Proud Boys and other groups, were in fact planning this as much as 2 months in advance. Now, what's interesting about that is that Donald Trump wasn't planning this rally 2 months in advance. It's important to think about that. Now, yesterday, as you know, and I don't want to lose this thought before we get to the bottom of the hour. Yesterday, Mark Levin read this long dissertation, and you can read it yourself. I'm trying to find where it is. I think it might have been on Gateway Pundit. Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin read from this man's statement. It's very well detailed personal observation of someone who is a trained former government employee, trained observer, eyewitness account of what happened on that day and the people involved. And there were a great many people, in Hibbs' observation, certain people that were in fact not MAGA supporters. They were either Antifa and or Black Lives Matters, like John Sullivan, who's in the news now. The guy from Utah, that's clearly an Antifa guy who did the video saying we did it, he and another lady. We did it after they breached into the Capitol. All of that, folks, points to that the Republican Party of Oregon wasn't necessarily wrong when they said false flag. because there's lots of evidence. Anyway, Ron Johnson read from this man's piece yesterday. So basically put it in the public record. Observations of people who clearly were not MAGA supporters. And this guy knows his stuff, folks. Now, the problem is that right now, the new leadership is being characterized in a lot of Oregon publications. I read to you the Oregon Public Broadcasting story that followed several other stories by major news outlets. KGW Channel 8, calling the new leadership right wing. This is what we must fight against. And it's going to be used as the narrative against every Republican running for office. We can fight against it. We must fight against it in this state. And one of the ways we do that is not only using talk radio as a platform for that, but also the new economy, the parallel economy that we have to build. As constitutionalists, conservatives, patriots, people who believe in liberty, not the tyranny of the left, the fascist Democrats and their tyranny, that we are seeing every day as more and more of Biden's nominees, and sadly, Merrick Garland, who doesn't believe terrorism can happen at night. It only happens during the daytime. Government employees are in the building. At any rate, folks, I'm going to get into more of this. Why Trump is the key.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp. Stop the car.
It's 24 minutes to the top of the hour. If you're just joining us, we're talking about patriots building a parallel economy, parallel political economy. I'm going to get into that in a moment. 503-589-1220 is the Power of Buick GMC talk line. 503-589-1220. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am or Jeff at KSLM.news. Linda writes an email. Said, just saw a news crawler. Mitch McConnell's going to support Merrick Garland. That's old Biden's attorney general nominee. The guy that said, yeah, you know, the Black Lives Matter Antifa riots and attacks against the Portland federal courthouse, where it really wasn't terrorism because it happened at night. Domestic terrorism can only happen in the daytime. Yeah, that guy. She says, all part of the good old boys network, probably an agreement between Mitch and Chuck Schumer when he was up for the Supreme Court. No consideration for right and wrong, especially after the performance yesterday by the attorney general nominee. That's right. It's absolutely right. By the way, a judge has blocked enforcement of Joe Biden's, because we know who's really running the presidency. It's Barack Obama. Judge blocks enforcement of old Biden's moratorium on most deportations of illegals. You see, last week, we reported about how a federal judge had temporarily given a two-week stay or injunction against Barack Obama's unconstitutional executive order saying, you know, we're just going to pause the deportations for 100 days. A federal judge, a Trump appointee, said, nope, in response to the Texas lawsuit filed by the Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton to say this is an unconstitutional executive order that impacts Texas. A Trump appointee judge said, yep, you're right, granted a temporary preliminary injunction. Well, now another Trump appointee agreed that, and this is late last night, folks, that they're going to stop Joe Biden's executive order suspending the deportations. This means deportations will continue. And he did it until further notice, which means that this federal judge believes ultimately that Texas will be successful in their underlying lawsuit. That's the only, again, it's the only reason that federal judge or any judge grants a preliminary injunction, is if they believe that the underlying lawsuit's going to be successful. Pretty obvious here. Now, I'm going to tie this all up together because this is one of the ways that we can have hope for the next 2 years, because a lot of bad stuff is going to get thrown at us over the next 2 years here in Oregon and right from Washington, D.C. However, we have some very brave Republican-run states like Texas, like Florida, and others that are going to stand up. And because of Trump's legacy, folks, you know I have said this time and time again, and I mean it, and I believe it to be true, irrespective of the feckless U.S. Supreme Court. The federal judges at the lower level are going to be our line of defense in the natural realm. In the supernatural realm, we have to keep praying, we have to keep organizing and calling upon God to expose the corruption and expose and frankly change people's hearts and their minds. That's the first thing we always have to do here. But these federal judges, and I have said it all along from the very beginning of Trump's presidency, Trump, in my view, he will be successful if he appoints judges that will preserve our constitutional republic. He will have saved the republic through the judiciary. And it apparently is not going to be the very compromised Supreme Court. It is apparently going to have to be through judges like Drew Tipton, who agreed to this suspension of Joe Biden's unconstitutional executive order. And he's going to leave that in place indefinitely. Now, this is one of the ways you should have some hope that the legacy of Donald Trump is going to carry on to do what? Make America great again. How? By preserving the Constitution. By preserving the intent of the Constitution that protects you, the timeless principles of liberty, folks. This should give you hope. Now, I want to get into this piece that's entitled, I'm gonna give it to you, the full title, in a moment here, but I want to read this to you. Andrew Torba, the Gab founder. Gab is one of these websites and platforms and tools on your smartphone. And by the way, they're going to build their own smartphone. Anyway, Andrew Torba is the guy who started this thing. It goes around all, because they use their own system, it completely goes around any dependence upon Google or Amazon Web Services or anybody else, Facebook, anybody else, to limit or censor free speech. Here's what he says. Patriots must build the parallel economy. He writes, we must exit this broken and failing system and start building a new one immediately. We are not revolutionaries. We're not violent. We are reformers. We are builders. When we up and leave the existing system in favor of our own, the existing system will crumble without us lifting a finger. This relates to the stories being written about and the narrative of the left in Oregon about Oregon's new Republican Party leadership as being right-wing extremists. More on that in a moment. I want to remind you that if your heating and cooling system is just not keeping up, you really need to call Freedom Heating and Air, because they can fix it for you. And they can make your home or your business be a lot more comfortable. And your customers and, frankly, your family is going to like you for it. It's what they do best. It's what they do. Whether it's gas furnaces or it's you've been hearing them, the ads on the station about their great air filtration systems. This is really true. They have these great UV systems that can literally just kill anything in the air of your home that's bad for you. It's true. And they do. They have those systems. They can do that for you. You want confidence that your home is the most secure place for you and your family? You better talk to Freedom Heating and Air. Check them out on the web, freedomheatingandair.net, freedomheatingandair.net. We cannot have the Oregon Republican Party to be immediately branded is now being led by a bunch of right-wing yahoos. Because that's not the case. But it is the narrative that the left is already establishing here in Oregon. Now, this unnamed Republican, whose name you would know if I shared it with you, after we had this conversation, you know, I related that to him, and he was actually unaware of the number of news stories that are being written. And when I articulated them, he said, well, he offered up what I think is a great suggestion. It's one of the ways we push back. And it is, he needs to reach out to each of those particular news organizations that basically copied the same narrative from each other, and they did. And it all stems from the OPB article, okay, by Dirk Vanderhart. We talked about that yesterday. And this is the insidiousness, the incestuousness of the media. They just take something they saw written in another news story, and they sort of change it up a little bit, and they make it their own. But the general direction and the general narrative and the general impression that people walk away with is the same. So this Republican suggested that literally Dallas Hurd and Herman Bertsinger go on what can only be described as a charm offensive. Start calling each of these groups, each of these networks, these OPB, other newspapers that have established this narrative, and sit down with them, or try to. Because each of them said, well, they reached out to the ORP and got no comment. Well, that's a false narrative in and of itself. It is a tactic that they use. The reality is, that's a very good idea. The truth of it, about mainstream conservatism. They need to come up with their plan and put their plan out there. But it has to be based on what is actually going to appeal to people. I'll tell you one thing that ain't going to appeal to people is to be called a right-wing extremist leading a party. Back in a moment, 6:48. We'll be right back.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
503-589-1220 is that Power Buick GMC talk line. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am or Jeff at kslm.news. So the piece by J. Robert Smith is entitled, it's in the American Thinker, "For Trump, Trust Busting Isn't Just an Option." He starts off this way. Note to former President Donald J. Trump. Time to channel a fellow New Yorker, a Roosevelt, no less. That's the Oyster Bay Roosevelt, Teddy. Trust busting seems to be a cornerstone of your America First agenda. The agenda that's going to return you to the White House in 2024. Now, I'm going to stop there, for I'm going to say to you, it is also the agenda that if we follow, at least in part, this advice that returns Republicans in Oregon to much greater power, and it starts at the county level, just like what Lindsey Burschauer is trying to do in Yamhill County, along with Mary Sterrett, to make it a sanctuary Second Amendment county. It starts in Oregon at the local level, at school boards, at any other government, at city councils. It starts at the local level. And if you're a Republican, you can't be viewed as a right-wing nut job. And we shouldn't allow ourselves to be framed that way, so we have to push back. And the way we do that is we bust up by creating a parallel economy, political economy. We bust up not just social media or big media in Oregon, mainstream media, leftist media, OPB, newspapers, TV stations. We do it through radio, of course, but we also do it by establishing and using these other parallel communication mediums. Email, of course, is always an option. Texting is an option. And I hope Trump develops this texting tool where he can directly communicate with everybody and nobody can stop him. Cell phone provider. Oh, and the Democrats will try, believe me. The other thing we continue to do is to push back on these alternative news outlets that we are developing, push back against Democrats trying to shut them down. Like what the Democrats are trying to say about Fox News, OANN, and Newsmax on the television side. We also are in danger on the radio side because they will also try to reinstitute the fairness doctrine. You wait, that's coming. There's no noising about it now, but they're going to try it. You wait. It'll fail, as it should. But they're going to try it. That's part of the Rush Limbaugh legacy, folks. So busting up the oligarchies of social media is part of it. There's another thing that's part of it. And it is something else that Trump has done. And that is wildly develop massive new numbers of patriots who will give small dollar donations to not only his effort, but to other deserving, conservative, American-loving, Constitution-loving candidates. This is part of the parallel economy that must be developed if we are to save the Republic. Because no longer will then Republicans be held hostage to Mitch McConnell, the traitor, who has, the reason he's powerful is because he controls the money. From who? From the big PACs. How do we go around that? By small dollar donations. The other way we go around it is us, the Patriots, patronizing alternative media, our alternative media, like this radio station and our advertisers, and maybe considering making a small donation on a monthly basis, maybe a cup of coffee. Seriously, folks, every month to our GoFundMe page here at KSLM. Also, doing like I did, I subscribe to OANN. Cost me $5 a month, $4.99. It's worth it because I'm not getting filtered news, even from Fox, folks. I'm going to continue with this piece, and then we'll go to the top of the hour break, and then I'll get into it even further when we come back. The piece by J. Robert Smith about Trump busting up these monopolies. In term number one, President Trump was on track, he writes, to bust up free speech, loathing oligarchy, big tech. This Sunday at CPAC, Trump plans to speak about, get this, a vision where the big tech monopoly is dismantled and free speech and free expression and free thought can reign, says Jason Miller, key advisor to the president, ex-president, still my president, as far as I'm concerned. In the States, there's currently momentum towards antitrust action against Google and Facebook. Federal lawsuits started during Trump's term are still in play. Now, this is key to the states. Remember, I talked about Texas pushing back on the unconstitutional executive orders of O'Biden? Well, this is another way this can happen. The New York Times wrote on February 16th, the suits add to a mounting legal pressure on the tech companies. Federal and state officials have filed three lawsuits against Google, saying it illegally maintained monopolies in search and online advertising. Lawsuits filed against Facebook by the Federal Trade Commission and a group of states could seek to break the company up. We'll see if the Biden administration continues to pursue lawsuits and actions against big tech allies. If the last 4 years are any indication, Democrats will fix it so their cronies wiggle off the hooks. It's only uppity Republicans and patriots who are on the receiving end of quote-unquote justice. Trust busting has broad appeal, but it's not for the short-term crass political gain that Trump should champion antitrust sweeps. It's to restore the free market and to thwart enterprises that have cynical calculations. Big government power can be leveraged to cement market dominance. Hence, a large swath of corporate America is eager to help Democrats, the left, trample our liberties. Always follow the money and the power. Now, I'll get into the rest of this, but this is my thesis for today and how it all ties together. If we want to push back against the fascist Democrat narratives that Trump and his supporters created an insurrection at the Capitol and all of these other things, including Oregon Republican Party leadership being branded as right-wing extremist, then we need to be part of the parallel economy. It's how you will help persuade the persuader and change the world. 6 to 9, 1 more hour to go.